Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Before we begin, everyone do me a favor and read a little thing I wrote called The Federalist Papers. Yeah. I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I launched the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my face to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency? Yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men? It doesn't even matter. Nope. I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Hey, Bitcoin Maxis. It's the Tokens Radio Show with our hosts, Christy Matthews, Linda Kent, and Cameron Walfort.
Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name's Christy Matthews.
My name is Linda Kitt.
And I'm Cameron Walfort.
It's good to have you here. Gosh, I feel like it's been a while since we've been in the studio. It's only been a week off.
I know. I was thinking that the same thing. Yeah,
it does.
Maybe it's because it's raining out there and it's so nice to have it.
Yes, it is. Well, folks, you know, if you're looking for us on social media, and you can find us on Telegram and Twitter at Tokens Radio Show, and the chat room is open, so join us at KCNR1460.com. Feel free to give us a call at 530-605-4567. We'd love to chat with you here on air. And if you missed our last show, which was a replay of the week before, go to tokensradioshow.com and you'll see it right there. It was a good show. So.
Or any of our shows.
Any of our shows.
Yeah, you can always go to the archives and retrieve those, which is nice.
So today we're going to talk about Bitcoin. Now, I know that doesn't sound very exciting to people, but it is an exciting subject, and we should pay more attention to it. So it's more than just a digital currency, but we're going to talk about that in a little bit. And, you know, scammers are out in full force, and we're going to review how to protect yourself from being ripped off. But before we get started, here's a word from one of our affiliate partners. Tokens Radio Show has partnered with Swan Bitcoin. We are Swan Bitcoin customers and chose them because Swan is, well, easy to work with and inexpensive. Set up a Bitcoin savings plan and never miss out on the dips. It's perfect for both new and experienced Bitcoiners. Get the free book, Inventing Bitcoin, the technology behind the first truly scarce and decentralized money, and earn $10 of Bitcoin when you use our affiliate link, swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow. That's swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow.
Can't say enough about the Swan folks. We say it every week. They're great people. Yep, we do.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, Linda, what's the word of the week?
Okay. I think I might have done this before, but in light of everything that we go over and trying to educate everybody, I picked it again if I have. Proof of work.
Okay.
It is used widely in cryptocurrency mining for validating transactions and mining new tokens. And it's very important for people to know when they're looking at different tokens that is it proof of work or proof of stake. And maybe we'll go over proof of stake at a later date. Maybe that'll be next week's term. But proof of work is very important.
Right. And we're going to talk a little bit more about proof of work when we get to Bitcoin because there's some significance about the energy use and so forth. It's not negative. But we'll talk about that
yeah,
further.
They want you to think that, but yeah. Okay.
So in the meantime, let's talk a little bit about the scams that are going on and how to prevent yourself from being scammed. I've got a little story, if you guys don't mind me sharing
it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, where we're getting some of this information to share with you was written by one of our new affiliate partners, the Crypto Confidential people. But nonetheless, I was looking for my last month's publication, and it never arrived. And I'm going, what's going on here? So later on, we found out that our mailbox cluster was broken into.
You were scammed.
So I go over to the postmaster after we received the empty Crypto Confidential envelope. And I'm going, what is this? They delivered an empty envelope. So I go over and I talk to the postmaster, and he says, yeah, let me show you where we found your mail. And it was up there off of Ashby in some little ravine there. And I just laughed because we didn't lose anything of real significance except for the newsletter, which I was able to get a copy of, but I thought it was so funny that the ripoff artist thought that was valuable to keep as well.
Well, they just need good investment advice.
I guess so. So, you know, let's talk about keeping yourself safe, especially with your cryptos, because they are under target. And it's not new schemes per se. They're just old schemes that are still in play, but they're coming after your crypto.
Right. And they're getting more creative.
They're very creative.
Yes,
and
they are.
They're going to try harder now because people are more aware of things and they're protecting themselves. And so the crypto scams have got to get more sophisticated. So let's talk about rule one. Cameron, you want to take that one away?
Yeah. So, sorry about that. With the first rule of, it skips right through on my little sheet here, but that's okay. Sorry about that. So you want to protect your seed phrase. It's extremely important, and it's kind of a no-brainer in the crypto world. What a seed phrase is the baseline of your account. It's or account, more of a centralized finance term, but essentially everyone has their own wallet that holds their funds, and no one else can access those funds so long as they don't have your seed phrase. Your seed phrase is the root access password to your account holdings. If you have that seed phrase, you can get into it. Without it, you cannot. So protect your seed phrase in two manners here, or two forms of speaking, would be, A, you don't want to lose it, because if you lose it, there goes all of your money, or all of your crypto holdings, anything that is in that wallet. And B, on the flip side of that, you do not want anyone else to have any potential access to it. So good ways to go about this are not saving it within your email or anything like that that could be hacked. Keeping a paper copy that is hidden and completely inaccessible. And if you can keep it in a safe or something of that nature that is a barrier beyond just getting into your home, it is highly advisable.
So just to have some clarification, the seed phrases are different than like the public key or private key. This is another layer of protection.
Your seed phrase is 12 or 24 words, and they're randomly chosen.
Mm-hmm.
So when you set up a wallet, you will have they're the recovery phrases, and it might be words such as green, apple, tree, that type of thing. They're very random, and your phrase are those words that have to be put back into the order in which they were received. So once you see those seed phrases, it's from left to right. You write them out left mm-hmm. to right, and that's how when you have to recover your wallet, you put them in the same way that you receive them.
Yeah, and just a really quick touch on, in case people are less familiar with how wallets and all of that works in decentralized finance and cryptocurrency, there are three different relevant pieces of information associated with a wallet, and that's the public key, and that's essentially your address. If someone wants to send you money, send you a note over the blockchain, anything like that, it's like your username and everything else that would be publicly accessible so people can identify you on the blockchain without having to actually know who you are or who holds that wallet. Then there is your private key, and that is uniquely associated with your public key, and it would be the equivalent of your password. Now, one thing to make note of on a private key is that will only recover your wallet within the blockchain that it's relevant to, so to speak. So, or if it's in the Ethereum virtual machine, or EVM, as it's commonly referred to, you can unlock any sort of wallet, Phantom, Ethereum, etc., Polygon, using that key. That will not unlock your Bitcoin wallet that has that same private or public key.
Right.
And the seed phrase, that is a universal across the board.
Correct.
There is one Bitcoin address per Ethereum address out there, and one Ethereum address for every address within the Ethereum virtual machine, right. And that is identical across the board. But if you want to be able to associate your Bitcoin address with your Ethereum address, the seed phrase is essential.
That's a very good point. Now, one of the other things that you can do, and it is optional, you can add a 13th or 25th word as an additional passphrase or to your passphrase. It's called a custom passphrase. Or a hidden wallet, if you will. But that's not something that's customarily used. It's something if you choose to use it, you must utilize that option if you were to recover your wallet. You cannot use your 12 to 24 words and get by. If you utilize a 13th or 25th word, you have to use it for recovery.
Something that I might think is worth noting is I actually did not know that was something, but I would highly recommend doing it at this moment because in theory and with the amount of addresses out there, it's relatively impossible to get any given person's, but you could just sit there and enter seed phrases into MetaMask and recover wallets endlessly by just using a dictionary attack on it. And if the odds are eventually you'll get someone's. Now, the thing about your dictionary attack is you're going to be using a 12 or 24 word seed phrase. Whereas if you wanted to protect yourself against that and you had a 13th word in there, especially if it's not a dictionary word,
right,
they're never
choose.
Going to touch it.
Yes, it's something you choose.
Yes, your choice.
And that's extremely valuable because there is a dictionary of words that are acceptable for the blockchain to accept as passwords. And that's what's going to be in a dictionary attack if someone's just sitting there trying to recover wallets. Which, as far as I know, that's not something that's been effective thus far. But with increased computational power, faster processing speeds, you never know. But with this extra word, just throw a number in it, and a dictionary attack would never win.
That's right.
Interesting.
So the second thing you want to be concerned with is use a hardware wallet. So a hardware wallet is hardware. Okay, it's something that's not connected to a computer. Okay, a good hardware wallet.
Or it can be connected and taken off.
Correct.
Yeah.
Such as a Ledger
right.
or a Trezor hardware wallet.
Right.
Okay, and what's really cool about them is that they're not online. So if you're using a crypto computer, for instance, or a mobile phone that is connected to either your cell phone carrier or you're on Wi-Fi, you're still online with that. You may have some protections there, but they're not the best. You want to really lock down your cryptos, put it in a hardware wallet, and they're safe there. Put that hardware wallet. You have to back up your seed phrases. All of that is the same, but at least your hardware wallet can be locked into a safe deposit box, that type of thing, and it is pretty safe.
I do want to note, if someone did have your seed phrase, whether or not your hardware wallet was plugged in, the seed phrase still exists on the blockchain, so the holdings would be there. The biggest advantage to the hardware wallet is if you are, say, staking or something on a farming site or something, and you're in a malicious farm or some sort of malicious contract, once you unplug your hardware wallet, if that contract is attacked or something of that nature,
right.
You can't. There's no auto approval on your end to send them your funds. So that's the biggest thing.
And we're going to talk about that a little bit farther down the road here about contracts and farming pools.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to add to that too, that if you transfer your funds over to the hard wallet, and you disconnect it, even if they have the phrases, they're not able to necessarily get into your stuff.
With the phrase, you will always be able to. Because the reason the hardware wallet can store it, it's not like Bitcoin can't be removed from the blockchain. So as long as you're holding it, it's affiliated with a seed phrase out there. It's just
okay.
Again, though, the odds of someone getting your seed phrase if you do not provide it for them is next to impossible.
Right.
But this is something that makes it so if they hack into your computer, they can't just go off of a simple keylogger to get a passphrase. They would actually have to have that hardware or have or have your seed phrase. They wouldn't.
It's so. That crypto hygiene.
Right.
It really is.
Yeah, it is.
About your own activities.
Okay, so another one, number three, would be avoid fake phishing websites. And, you know, this happens all the time, whether it's with crypto or whatever. You always have these people, what they call phishing websites, right, that are always trying to get your information or get you rooked into giving your information and doing different stuff with your computer. So you just have to make sure that you are, and even if they ask for your seed phrase, I'd say it, no.
Never.
Yeah.
Never, never.
You know, it's one of those things that should be a red flag. When they start asking for certain security things like seed phrases and stuff like that, it's like, I'm thinking not. That you shouldn't be giving that information at all to anybody anyway.
Well, these phishing websites, and you need to be careful anyway with them.
Right.
Let's say you're searching for a particular website online, and if you haven't noticed that sometimes it says ad right next to it. Okay.
Yeah.
So you need to be careful mm-hmm. not to click on those, especially when it's related to crypto, because you're probably going to be picking up some sort of tracking software from that, and you don't know if that's a friendly tracker or not a friendly tracker in any way. Probably not a friendly tracker at all. But just be careful about them, and you never, ever, ever offer up
right.
your seed phrases.
It's not needed for anything.
No,
other than
not
yourself.
At all. Yes.
That is a personal necessity.
And you may want to think about using other search engines than like Google or things
right.
like that to help protect yourself
right.
as well.
Yeah. So just be very careful. And just another word on that, it's just you never give up your IDs, your passwords, ever. If you're feeling like, this is not feeling right in my gut, it's probably true. So just take a pause, step back, and double check what you're doing and trust your gut. And if somebody does call you, get their information, look it up, and call them back. And one last thing to think of is when you're looking at something on the Internet, look at the URL and make sure. I'll give you a good example. This happened with the Divi Group. Their Telegram site got hacked. And so the hacker went ahead. I'm not going to say they got hacked. They got duplicated. So the duplicate site had Divi Project, D-I-V-I-I Project. Okay.
Right.
It is Divi, D-I-V-I Project. So you've got to be very careful and look at those addresses and make sure you're not being duped.
Right. And take a few minutes.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say the biggest killer that you could possibly face in DeFi, I think, is urgency, feeling like that you are in a
right.
hurry to do something because that's when you make mistakes. A little bit of good hygiene is to look at if you're using MetaMask, and I'd imagine the vast majority of wallets offer this, but you can, see what the expected transaction fee is going to be on a given transaction. So if you're on PancakeSwap, and that's on the Binance Smart Chain. In general, your transaction should run for less than a dollar. You will know that you're not on PancakeSwap if you see a $600 transaction fee popping up for your expected gas costs. Stuff like that is the sneaky way that they get it in, because if you're not looking at your gas costs because you're on a cheap chain and you're just expecting it to be the same as it always is, they can just right out of the middle take all of your funds. So that's one thing to bear in mind with those sites. Another thing is Google, funny enough, doesn't seem to actually care about the scam sites, which was really weird because when I was running my project, we got flagged as a potential scam site. The first time I tried to go to PancakeSwap Finance, I searched it on Google, and the top search result was a misspelled PancakeSwap with a .co, and I was just mind blown that this misspelled, very obvious scam site was not flagged by
right.
them, and ours
right.
had all of our information and a full doxing report, audits, all that. But so don't trust Google to cover you.
Well,
no.
We kind of combined, you know, a couple of the rules here, so we can probably go right on over to what you were talking about earlier, Cameron, and it's like, don't sign unfamiliar contracts.
Yes.
So no one can steal your money without your private keys. right?
Right.
For many coins, this isn't actually true. So in liquidity mining or liquidity pooling, it's a modern scam that tricks people into signing a transaction that grants token approval to the scammer's smart contract.
Now, that's not liquidity mining in general, just
no,
so everyone
it is
knows.
Not.
That's not
it
what
is.
It's supposed to do. That
that's
is just
right.
Something, that's a malicious action that people
exactly.
use to impersonate.
Exactly. And this approval basically gives the owners of the smart contract permission to steal your coins. So you might see that stolen coins appear in a mining portal if you're ever concerned about it. But if they're sitting there, the coins are gone from you for good. So, but having what Cameron just said, liquidity pools are legitimate. They're a legitimate concept in decentralized finance, which helps make the scam more convincing.
I would just say that what you should really be aiming for when it comes to that is you can mine new token or sorry, not mining if it's a token. You could pool new tokens and stake and all that fun stuff. If you're going to do that, I would recommend doing it on one of the trusted top 100 sites, and you
right.
could get the URL from coinmarketcap.com. That way, it's provided by the team that created the token. You have to be the token's contract creator to submit anything to coinmarketcap.com, or there are a few exceptions for that. That being said, you are definitely part of the team if you got the link on CoinMarketCap. So you won't be clicking any bad links. So if you're looking to go to 1inch or PancakeSwap or anything like that, and you don't know if it's a .app, .com, .io, .org, the best place to find a safe link is either on something like Coinbase or a trusted central exchange where you found the token and there's a list of links, or on CoinMarketCap. It is a great way to find links to your favorite projects.
Okay, so for us crypto dummies, as I like to put it, when it says token approval, what does that mean exactly? So I go to this site and I don't know, and I'm doing a contract and they say, now tell me what kind of tokens you have. And
that's for the relevant blockchain. So when you're looking at token approvals, you want to see what tokens were approved. You can go to these sites.
Oh, okay. I was coming from a different view.
And
okay.
you can revoke approval for any unfamiliar addresses
okay.
from there.
Okay, I got you now.
Right.
So if you go
great
on
question.
To PhantomScan, EtherScan, PolyScan, pretty much any blockchain scan, .io or .com, and don't just trust that, go to the proper blockchain site and go to their scanner. Anyway, you can look at your own address and see what tokens you're holding. If you find out that you're holding some crazy weird token, it's not a bad idea to just move your funds out of that wallet, because sometimes if you interact with one of those tokens, it's called a death attack and it will pull everything else out of your wallet. Really uncommon for those to actually succeed, but it is something that can happen. Another thing is with that approve, confirm, all that fun stuff that you're seeing before you want to trade a token. So just to go over the steps really quick on farming, trading, anything like that on any given swap, you then have a step one is going to be approve or confirm. What that is essentially doing is giving that site access to send the information from a contract over to your wallet so that you can choose whether or not to approve it. When you approve that, you're paying your fee to that site. That's all that little approval is. It's not actually giving them access to anything yet. And then the second confirmation will be a submission confirmation or something like that. And that's allowing them to interact with your funds. So that two-step process is one to kind of pay attention to, because the first charge would be the malicious one if it was one. All right. Anyway, we are just about to go into our break.
Yes, we are. And when we return, we will continue our conversation. You are listening to Tokens Radio Show on KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM, CN3.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press and Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. Reading Electric Utility and City of Reading staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. And before we went to break, we were talking to you about how to keep yourself safe and from people scamming you and taking your money and all that good stuff. We will pick that conversation back up here in just a moment, but we do have a word from our affiliate partner,
Crypto Confidential. Yes. You know, if you want to make a fortune in crypto, you only have to be right once.
that could be true with a lot of things.
Exactly. So which crypto projects could be the next Amazon, Google, Netflix, or Apple? Wouldn't you like to know? Like to have the inside scoop on that? So banks who have the most to lose are trying to regulate the industry. No surprise there. So what options are available to you? If you're all in on crypto, but you wonder what to buy it, how to keep it safe, and when to sell it, and how to minimize taxes when you do, then Crypto Confidential may be for you. For a fraction of the cost of retaining experts, Crypto Confidential is the team of the world's best, boldest, and brightest crypto experts around. In fact, we're sharing some of this information with you today.
From them. Yeah.
What they do is they have bi-monthly AMAs. They have a wonderful publication that I shared with you just earlier when we opened the show today, and how the mail stealer, the robber, kept my Crypto Confidential newsletter, but as I digress there, you'll have access to experts through a private forum. You'll have in-person events. You have that monthly publication, and you have a 60-day money-back guarantee to give it a try. It's not a cheap publication, I'll tell you that up front, but you'll pay way more if you hired a group of consultants separately. And so you can check them out, check out their introduction page, and use our link at tokensradioshow.com/CC. That's tokensradioshow.com/CC.
But you got to remember, these are people that are going to advise you or give you the information
right.
to a lot of stuff that you wouldn't know anything right. about or how to view it. Because, you know, some people that I know, the only reason they get into cryptocurrency is they think you're going to make money. It's like the stock market type scenario, you know? I want to be like a day trader in crypto. And that's all that they're doing. And, you know, having somebody where they can go to get that information, or even the just like everyday person wants to go, well, what should I buy?
Right.
You know, none of us have, I know, I don't have money to drive down the freeway and throw it out the window, okay?
Yeah, and you can look at the breadth of experience. Just go
right.
go to tokensradioshow.com/CC, and it will take you to their page, and you can read the bios of the people that are on this team, okay? Nice. It's a fabulous mix of people, a breadth of experience, and you decide if
right.
this is right for you.
Yeah.
But they're fabulous.
All right.
Well,
so where do you want to pick up?
Shall we continue?
Sure. What? Do we want to pick up on being patient?
Absolutely.
Rather than greedy, as we kind of alluded to
yeah.
earlier.
So, but Cameron, why don't you roll with that one, because you were so on spot on with that before.
Yes. So mistakes very, very generally tend to happen when you're in a hurry. So if you have some sort of sense of urgency and you're feeling that your money's at stake, your well-being's at stake, or something of that nature, you're much more inclined to make a mistake, and scammers know this. So one thing to be mindful of is if you're getting reached out to saying, oh, I can help you with your problems, a stranger emails you or reaches out to you on Telegram or something like that after maybe you posted about it, or
which you should never post
yeah.
about your cryptos.
Very, very heavily advised that we against posting about your holdings
right.
or your activity in crypto. That being said, if someone does get your information, know you're holding crypto, and they're now asking you about it, do not let any of what a stranger or even a friend says that could concern you lead you to impulsive decision-making, because whether it be selling too early or clicking a link that you shouldn't have or buying something that you absolutely shouldn't have, these mistakes happen a lot more frequently when you're in a hurry.
So you're saying yeah. don't get FOMO'd into anything, right?
Yeah.
yeah. Hey, you've got to buy this meme coin because it's going to make you rich. And so it keeps running up in price, and you're going, oh, gosh, I should have bought it when it was this. And then the rug gets pulled on you, and then
yeah.
you lose everything. So
right.
happens all the time, folks. And I'm sure we'll review this again with you again in the future because it's so necessary.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. I was just going to say, like we've talked before, you're not late to the game necessarily right,
right
we're now.
We're very early.
Yeah.
Very early.
With investing in general also, don't put in anything, at least into these crazy projects, don't put anything you're not willing to lose. I
right.
would oppose that very sentence with something like Bitcoin. Where that could be a financial alternative for many people who
yeah.
are utilizing it as a store of value or something of that nature. If you're looking to earn money with your money, then do not try to put out more than you can afford to say goodbye to. As
right.
I would consider myself in one fairly strong project, and I have 10% of what I started with. So
yeah, and I think it's a good point. We're in a pullback in our economy, mm-hmm. and the same thing with cryptocurrencies. You know, it's a legitimate, serious investment, and should, in my opinion, should be part of your portfolio. But you want to have the best of class in your portfolio, especially in times when you shouldn't be speculating.
Yeah,
like Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, that
right,
type of thing.
I was going to say, especially with people
right.
that are getting up in their age, like some of us, you know, we become a little bit more reserved
yes.
in that category. So.
Well, we've got one last thing, and then we'll go jump over to Bitcoin. But you want to be familiar with the classic scams. Gift cards, they're for gifts. They're not for payments.
Oh, dang it, no.
Never use gift cards to pay for anything and never give out gift codes over the phone or through the internet. I'll say that there's a caveat there. If it's to a friend, somebody that you are very close to, that
right.
might be okay. But don't use your gift cards as sources of payments. And look for poor grammar. Cameron was alluding to that earlier.
Yeah.
Poor grammar is something that you should look out for.
That should be like a straight red
right.
flag. In
yeah.
general, a professional company will have a copy and paste message. And if they have a typo in their copy and paste mm-hmm. message, there is something very wrong with that.
Exactly.
All right. And then we have romance schemes. Or scams.
Yes.
You just don't want to be talking to people, whether it's crypto or anything, really, in my opinion. You want the whole world to know exactly what you got and where you live and how you...
Give you a good example.
Okay.
All right. I follow Jason Lowry. He's Space Horse Fellow at MIT. Well, I got a message from Jason Lowry on Twitter.
You did?
I did. And I'm going, why is he messaging little old Chris? You know, why is he doing that? So I'm looking at the message, and his languaging was very similar to Jason's. But then it got into a point where, like, how's your investments doing? And now I'm going, I'm feeling uncomfortable. And then he says, well, you know, this is a recommended portfolio that I suggest that you should follow. And right then, immediately, I reported
him and deleted
the account
right.
because I knew that Jason Lowry would not be contacting me to talk to me about cryptos in that way. So, sextortion. Yes, don't be duped in somebody thinking that you did something naughty on a tape and somebody found it. and using it against you. So that's a scam. There is no video, and you should never pay a ransom with your cryptocurrency.
And at the end of the day, just deal with it if there is.
Yes.
Like, in all honesty, this is another one of those impulse decisions, make a bad move.
Right.
Worst case scenario, they send it to all your friends, and all your friends are like, you didn't send me that video. Any good friends don't get it.
Oh, yeah, great. My friend may call me up and pull me outside and, you know, clobber me a little bit and say, what the heck are you doing, you know?
Snap for it, but I'm just saying, your dignity is never worth your wallet.
Right. There you go.
And tax imposters.
Yes.
I deal with this all the time. They will not call you on the phone
right.
and talk to you that way. Also, they're very good at sending out letters.
Yes, they are.
They are. And one of them is, it comes a lot from the state of California, and it has to do with corporations, and they'll say, you know, you need to pay us $250. You need to do minutes every year and all this. Looks very official. All they want is your money. They don't have the seal of California on it, but the little thing they have kind of looks that way. And we get calls all the time. It's like, it's a scam. Throw it away. So, and the big giveaway, not just with the emblem, is the $250. So, just beware. They don't use they're not going to call you on the phone and do all of that. So,
fun fact is with the blockchain, mail, like very specifically mail scams, would be essentially impossible once NFTs replace your traditional mail or email sources. Right now, you can spoof an email, and I've actually paid an advertiser that was not an advertiser who used the advertiser's email address and this whole big thing. So it's very achievable to spoof an email address. Someday the IRS will have its public address, its blockchain address, and its letters will come to you in a form of NFTs. Well, I'm being optimistic for the IRS to get with the times.
Well,
but
riddle me this.
Yeah, when they got 30 million pieces of mail sitting there.
You know, the post office has a patented blockchain technology for, ready?
Yeah.
Elections.
And
for elections, and we're not using it. So they have the capability.
So this, the blockchain exists, so they have the capability. I mean, the IRS
have
could
the
open.
Actual patent.
Yeah. I just mean all it takes is the IRS creating
That's
an
true.
Ethereum account,
yeah.
and then they can, or it, they'd probably want to do it on Polygon because you don't want to pay gas fees.
Well, right now they're dumping millions of tax returns because they can't process them. But that's another story for another day.
Say, yeah,
huh?
30 million pieces of mail that's sitting there. I wonder if it would speed up the process.
Oh my gosh, you'd think so, especially.
Anyway,
should we talk about Bitcoin and maybe we'll present it in just a different way? Cameron,
I was just going to say, could I rewind to that be patient rather than greedy rule one more time?
Yes. Rewind. Circle back.
Hold on. I got to push rewind.
This is the air quotes, not financial advice, but it's not a loss until you sell. So if you are in Bitcoin and you're looking at the market right now, the only way it is a losing market is if you're selling in this market.
Right.
That's that whole don't be FOMO'd out. You see something drop off a cliff. The reason I have 10% of my 100% that I had a month ago is because I refuse to sell.
Right.
And I wouldn't say that's infinitely diamond advice, because there are certainly times that companies or crypto's crashing or something and you just need to be ahead of it. But in general, if you're paying attention to what your project is doing or what your investment's doing, that price should not be what is controlling your investment or dictating your investment decisions.
And it should be that way across the board, not just with crypto, but with anything that you're holding, that you're investing in.
Right.
I guess is what I'm looking for. The term is investing, actually.
Well, remember when the pandemic came along, we had such a crash, right? So your best financial planners were calling their clients and saying, okay, what's your risk tolerance right now? How are you feeling about things?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to get past this. Are you going to be okay? We don't know how long this will be, but can you ride for the next 2 years? Well, yes, I can. Then that's what we recommend you do. Hold tight.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of in the same situation right now. This is a normal cycle, by the way, for Bitcoin.
Yes.
It really is. And I mean, if you go back and look at it historically, this is a normal period of time. And around the third quarter of the year is usually when it starts to run up again. So we'll wait and see. It might be different this year, but I would be willing to bet it's not. But that's just my opinion.
Right.
Not financial advice.
Not financial advice. And I agree with you. But again, it's like with anything,
right?
You know. Gold, silver,
right.
Housing.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. You know, you can't be in fear just because it takes a little dip.
Well, and your dollar cost average goes down if you buy in the dip.
Right.
So if your dollar cost average for Bitcoin was $60,000 and you've been buying while it's sitting here at 30, you bring your dollar cost average down. And once Bitcoin hits $45,000, if you've done enough work, well, then your dollar cost average will hopefully be under that. And then you're in the green far sooner than you would be.
Absolutely.
So
Yeah.
Red means buy. That's not financial advice, but do it.
Yeah. Hashtag NFA.
Yeah. All right. So.
So let's talk about Bitcoin and maybe approach it in a little bit of a different context than what most people look at it. You know, people are going, well, it's a currency. I got a call the other day, and the person that I was speaking with had told me that, you know, he had SHIB.
Okay.
And what about Bitcoin? And I go, well, I think it's red. Buy, just like what you said. And he goes, well, why? And so I started down this line that I'll share with you. And first of all, is that it's more than a currency. It's an accounting system, if you can look at it and frame it in a different sort of way. It's the most advanced, locked down, accurate accounting system that has ever been created thus far. And there's reasons for that. It removes the human from being involved in it. And if you look at the history of accounting, you know, before Bitcoin, we started off with a single entry accounting system. This is before the 1400s. How did we used to keep track? We had an accounting system then.
Maybe it could have been in the sand, but I
was
think it
clay
was actually
tablets?
On tablets.
Yes,
I was going to say, drew it in the sand.
Yeah. So Cameron, you know, had two pigs up for trade, and he wanted some pelts. And so how did we document that transaction? Well, put it in a clay tablet, received two pigs, and He got a bunch of pelts, and he puts it in there in a clay tablet, and it goes out in the sun, and it gets baked, and it's permanent.
So if I could stack on where the necessity for money comes in with that, is you don't want 6,000 pelts for your pigs. You want to have this pelt and then be able to use the remainder of those pelts without ever having to go carry them around to go trade them for other things.
Exactly.
So that's where your money comes in. Now, whoever it is that's recognizing that money gets blown up by a bomb. Whatever your money was that was representing your 6,000 pelts is no longer representing squat. So once you have what Bitcoin is, decentralized currency and decentralized public ledger, what that means is if I'm in France tomorrow and America blows up by a nuke, the odds are no one in France is going to touch my United States dollar.
Right.
Separately, my Bitcoin is a decentralized currency. That means it is not backed by a single entity. Not one entity has a say in its value. What it is a trustless collection of debts and balances. So
it's a collection of transactions.
Yeah.
Correct.
On a ledger.
This is public and it completely this word is really killing me right now. I can't articulate it. But it's
immutable?
It's, yes, and it's fail-proof. So
yes.
So you decide that it wasn't worth sending me 5 Bitcoin tomorrow. You can't call your bank and say, "Hey, you know, services weren't rendered, or this was a scam, or whatever." This is in the blockchain. This is done, settled, and finalized.
Right,
right.
Well, and that's a good point. And I just wanted to add something that you said. So let's say the United States was blown off the face of the map, and maybe the U.S. dollar is no longer relevant, right? So, and it's a little bit off, a little digression from the thought process here, but something worth saying. When we're looking at the times that we're in right now, some people believe that, oh, Bitcoin tanked. Well, if you're looking at it in terms of the U.S. dollar, it has gone down in value. But if you're in Bangladesh, that is now bankrupt, and you're holding Bitcoin, you're sitting very, very well.
You're wealthy.
You just triggered so many fireworks. So.
Yes. And true, because in many other places, Bitcoin's at its all-time high. And as we talked about before, when you print $6 trillion worth of United States currency and put it out to the world, and it's all coming back now, that's putting pressure on our economy, but it's also pressuring other economies as well. And those who are buying Bitcoin, they're here, especially in the United States, they have it in the context of the U.S. dollar. You can't put it in the context. A Bitcoin is a Bitcoin all around the world. It means the same thing. It is not a U.S. dollar. But if you want to trade it for U.S. dollars, you're going to get $29,000-some-odd today.
Yeah.
If you're able to. Because
because a lot of places are
going to say, I don't want the U.S. dollar.
Yes.
You know what? Go back to the tablet because I'm done with
this. There's going to be a clearing process.
Right.
To sell that Bitcoin, you're going to wait it out and have it go through the existing rails that we have before you can receive the U.S. dollars.
Right.
Two little horns to spike from that is, one,
I love it.
I very, very rarely hear people say the U.S. dollar is collapsing when Bitcoin was at $70,000.
Right.
I didn't hear people say, oh my gosh, I can only buy half of the amount of Bitcoin I can buy yesterday. I don't hear people saying the dollar is collapsing every time the price of gas goes up, and that's what we buy more than anything else.
Right.
I don't hear people say the dollar is collapsing when rent goes up. What does go up with these over time, historically outperforms every asset is Bitcoin.
Right.
So that's one little horn to spin off of there. And then the other thing is, even if we could hypothetically say that America's blown up, but the dollar is still recognized, without the financial institutions that are backing that or holding that ledger of how much dollars you have, it is a crap show of what's in your account. You're just trying to convince someone that that is in your account, and some bank is going to send that to them that probably doesn't exist anymore America got blown up. But regardless, it doesn't matter how many banks blow up, how many countries blow up, we bomb ourselves into the Stone Age. If there's a single running computer that is mining Bitcoin, then every transaction that is on that ledger is permanent and final.
Exactly. Yeah. Even if things were shut down for 10 years, and then all of a sudden there's a little hum, a little fan that starts up, a little computer, a node, a cell phone, whatever, and next thing you know, you can find your Bitcoin. It will be there.
Well, I might be able to find my dollars.
Yeah. Well, no.
But I might as well, like,
you'll find your Bitcoin.
I'm just saying, with a dollar, I might be able to have it in my hand, but it's not going to do me any good at that point.
Yes, it might be a collector's item at some point.
Yeah, I probably
in time.
Would need, you know, the whole state of California filled with it in order to buy anything, you know, no value.
Be like a Native American nickel.
Yeah. And I would make note, though, that this applies well beyond just Bitcoin on
it does.
Decentralized currency. That is essentially the basis of the fundamental principles of the blockchain.
Yeah,
that's the whole thing with Bitcoin.
Right.
Was to delete double spending and have a finite amount of currency that could be circulating and a trustless and immutable transaction service.
Yeah,
so
we don't have somebody in control of it.
Yeah.
We don't have the government or whoever or Dr. Evil up there saying what it's worth and how to do it and what you can do with it and who you can give it to and where you can go.
While Bitcoin is the father of it all, though, it's just worth noting, if you go to Litecoin, these exact benefits do carry over there.
Oh,
as long
absolutely.
As the blockchain's mining.
Right. Yeah.
Any proof of work chain, as long as that chain is mining, then it's always there. And then if you go on proof of stake, proof of history, proof of whatever, this will be dependent on different variables. But in general, the idea behind a blockchain is that it doesn't go anywhere once it's out.
Right. Yeah. And what, you know, coming back to, you know, just keeping it real basic for people who are just trying to figure out, because what I hear around town, I ask everybody, are you familiar with Bitcoin? Oh, well, you know, my boyfriend has it, but I'm scared of it or whatever the case is. So I think it behooves us to get down to the real basics and say, well, what is it really? Yes, it's a currency, but it's way more than that. We haven't talked about proof of work today. You brought in the term, and that was wonderful that you did that. But the proof of work protocol that the Bitcoin blockchain is built on is so important to national security, the security of the blockchain, why Bitcoin is considered the granddaddy of all, a unit of account, a store of value, has everything to do with the proof of work protocol.
Right.
And it would be great to dive into more of the ideas of, you know, what is mining really? It has a dirty connotation. You know, they come out with a soot-filled face or whatever. It really isn't. It's really producing.
Could I – we don't have nearly enough time to dive into this.
Yes.
But was it you and I that just recently talked about the majority of functioning blockchains are not actually being used as currency?
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. So
yes, about 85% are not.
Yeah, so an example that I would be able to look at, and this is something that wouldn't even have a single holder, is something that would transact every time an accident happened in, like, a Tesla, a smart car or something
like
that.
Sure.
So what this contract could be able to do is, A, record where the failure was, whether it be on the system's autopilot, anything like that. B, immediately call 911, and this would all just be code that can't be – it's immutable, as we were speaking about earlier.
Right.
The importance of this is –
right. It can't be fudged.
Yeah. And as long as you can keep the battery alive on the car, essentially,
right,
then you are essentially as safe as you could be in a vehicle, because especially if this blockchain gets scalable, with Tesla as an example, 6,000 other Teslas on the road in your area, if you as long as you can send off that signal to one of them, then they can all get it to the police.
Well,
sorry,
we're at the top of the hour, guys. It's been a
great
show.
Yeah, great conversation.
Information. I'm sure we'll be having it again. Everybody have a great week.
Have
you
a
too.
Wonderful day.
Thanks
right.
a lot. Bye, everybody.
Bitcoin, as you're going into the old blockchain. Bitcoin, I know you're going to rain. Go.
everybody knows till everybody knows your name.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.